Hey, first I want to thank everyone for making time. This is something that I think is critical to us as a chaplain corps, and something that we need to do better in the sense of having more venues to talk or dialogue or share what's going on. So this is the first of hopefully a quarterly senior chaplain VTC. I feel after a year plus here in the job that this is something that I need to do better. Part of my role, I think, is getting out there so that I can have other venues of getting feedback. But having opportunities with senior chaplains is by far, I think, my most important communication task, if you will, out there. And I want to just spend a few minutes. Some of you have heard me speak of this before, but again, this is not the same exact group we've had at the Senior Leader Conference. So I want to, in a sense, continue to reiterate my understanding of my role, and I think that should help you understand where I think we need to go as a chaplain corps. So, first of all, the way we're set up here is a little different than what we've had in the past, and I really am convinced it's a better, it allows me, in a sense, to be more involved or more engaged as chief of chaplains. So currently, the way the deputy position is set up is he is really responsible for all the day-to-day business of actually running the chaplain corps. So the directors, report through him or report to him. He has more responsibility in the sense of getting guidance out and making sure that the field is communicating or understanding or has a touch point for our office. And then, of course, the directors, like I said, are working more directly with him. Whereas previously, that wasn't as defined that way. It was more the directors were really more strictly associated with the chief, which, as you can imagine, restricts the chief's ability to get out or to engage in other areas. And really, what this is about is, what can I do as chief of chaplains that no one else can, right? And that's why I need to have that ability to be able to do that. And certainly, this new setup gives us exactly that. We're also trying to engage more the other deputy chaplain, chief of chaplains, in the sense of Chaplain Fisher with the reserves and Chaplain Grice with the National Guard folks. So we're still working through that, but the intention is to have kind of a better, more unified effort here. And that applies across the board. Unity of effort is something that's critical to what we're doing. If we are not united in our effort, we are not going to be serving soldiers and families as well as we can. And that's kind of what we're after. I think what we want is to be able to, and across the board, have a more integrated chaplain corps. I really think it's important for us to, I hate to say have buy-in at all levels, but my intention is, and I think this is the best thing for the Army as far as serving soldiers and families, is that all the senior chaplains understand themselves as part of the chaplain corps. Like, we don't have a separate chaplain vision coming out of the chief of chaplain's office from what you may have at your organization. I want that to be one and the same. I really think to have the unity of effort that's going to serve the Army in the best way possible. I want all the senior chaplains to embrace the chaplain corps. Like, this is my chaplain corps, no matter what position you're in. That's the type of buy-in that I think we need to have. And the only way to have that is through communication. The only way to have that is through these different venues of sharing, you know, what you see, sharing what I see, and coming to, in a sense, kind of a mutual understanding of, yeah, this is what's best for the chaplain corps. This is what's best for us as a chaplain corps to serve the Army, to take care of soldiers and families. I really believe that. I really believe that the more united we are, the more integrated we are, then the better we're going to serve those soldiers and families out there. It's really all connected. I know there's a lot of moving pieces. I know that to be, kind of set up across the globe, working for all these, or I hate to use it, I hate to speak that way, working for, but to be integrated into all these organizations, it's going to take a lot of work for us. It's going to take a lot of intentional effort. It's going to take a lot of creativity and a lot of thought to be more integrated, to have a greater sense of unity of effort across the board. That's really what I'm concerned with. And to be honest, I think, and I've been telling people, you know, recently, my new favorite word is Chapman McGraw here?
Yes, sir.
My new favorite word is what?
Integrated integrity.
And share your definition of that.
Okay, the word integrity comes from the word integer, and that is that defines a whole number that cannot be divided.
Good.
And so it just permeates the whole.
All right. So anyway, that is really what we're after here. And along those lines, that whole being integrated, in a sense, it really does have to do with our identity. It really does have to do with understanding who we are, not just as a chaplain, but who we are in the chaplain corps and who the chaplain corps is in the Army. So really, you know, identity, integration, these things are really kind of connected. But as senior folks in the branch, we all have to kind of be working towards this end. And that's what I'm concerned with. That's why I want to have more of these types of opportunities to share, to dialogue, to allow better, you know, a better understanding of what we're trying to do out there, or what we think needs to happen. And again, I want to get out there as much as I can. I want to meet with chaplains. I want to meet with senior chaplains. I want to meet with senior commanders. But it's all for this purpose. It's all for kind of leveraging, in a sense, the position that I'm in as Chief of Chaplains to better serve you, to better serve the Chaplain Corps. You know, that's what I think we need to be about. We shouldn't be... I don't want anybody thinking that, you know, you're serving the Chief of Chaplains office. All right? I want us to be about, we're serving the Army. We're serving you. We're helping those UMTs who are taking care of soldiers and families where the rubber meets the road, that everything we're about is in some way serving them, helping them take care of our soldiers and families. Okay? All right. So I've kind of been talking a lot, but I guess at this point I'd like to open it to any comments that folks may have. Again, we got a lot of people on the line, so I'm sure there's a lot of thoughts out there. If you're thinking something, or if something's resonating with you or not resonating with you, please, live your call by sharing that. Okay, don't hold back. This is a team effort, and we need to go together with this. We need to help understanding at all levels, and that includes me. So, all right, I'm open to any comments that you may have at this point.
Sir, this is Chaplain Dugal from USERPAC, and since I have a retirement ceremony in 3 weeks, then you know I'm not trying to blow smoke. But I want to personally thank you for changing the paradigm at the chief's office. I want to thank you for ministering to the Pentagon in morning mass and taking that opportunity to live your call. I want to thank you for empowering our deputy chief of chaplains. And I have been around long enough that I have seen our deputies dismissed, put in a closet, and told to wait. And because of your modeling, because of your desire to change our Corps, you have empowered Chaplain Soljum as our deputy. And I want to personally thank you for that. And also I want to thank you for calling us to live the call. And as long as I've known you, that has definitely been something that has resonated with you. And I just want to thank you and let you know it is an honor to retire under your leadership as my chief of chaplains.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. I'm going to, I think I'm going to hire you as a PR guy. But you know, seriously.
I will serve, I will serve you any way, anyhow.
Thank you. You know, I really hope that we can empower each other. I hope that we can empower, that other senior chaplains can empower their subordinate chaplains. You know, I think you kind of touch on an important part. And it does speak to living the call. It does speak to identity. I believe that. I believe we're all called for this. And I need to, we all need to empower whoever we can, you know, to live their call. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talent out there in our ranks. And I think for too long, some of that has been stifled by, you know, people in their own kingdoms, people that have kind of confused, I think, their role and their identity, and that has inadvertently stifled a lot of chaplain creativity out there. And we want to open that up. We want to empower it. So anyway, thank you for those comments, and I'll send you a check later on. That was a joke.
Hey, Chaplain Hurley, this is Mark Fairbrother here from the 8th TSC, also in USERPAC.
Okay.
Hey, sir. With regard to our identity and integration, whole core integration into the Army's identity, certainly one of the aspects that can help us gain that focus is just to constantly remind, you know, all of us, senior leaders down to unit chaplains, is that everything we do needs to both be consciously, as well as in writing, as well as in everything that we put forward in our units and to our commands. It needs to be phrased, or as it were, represented in line with the CSA's three top priorities and your three top priorities. You know, we always need to say that, hey, this is about readiness, this is about taking care of soldiers and families, et cetera, et cetera. If we want to be perceived, certainly, and I think everybody agrees with me when I say this, if we want to be perceived as being integrated with everything the Army is doing, then we need to identify what we are doing in terms of, you know, what the chief and what the chief of chaplains says are the three main priorities. Over.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and that's what I expect, is that we, you know, we can take those priorities, if you will, really, which is the vision of the Chaplain Corps, and apply it to our own, to your organization. I speak a lot to folks about the idea of balancing priorities, or balancing lines of effort, or however you're going to articulate this. I really don't think we're about balancing. I don't like that, because when you say I'm balancing the commander's priorities with the chaplain corps priorities, at some point that's going to be pushed off balance. And what happens then? And I think we've all seen it in play. I just don't think that's a good way of looking at how we prioritize, how we go about our business. I think we need to think more in terms, again, of integrating. So I take the Chief of Staff of the Army's concerns, and I integrate the Chaplain Corps' capabilities and capacities and mission with that. So it's one. It's not a matter of balancing one thing or the other. It's one. And I think at your level, or at whatever level you're at, you have to be able to integrate the mission of the Chaplain Corps and its priorities with your organization's mission or priorities. And then, you know, you should be going to the commander saying, all right, given all of that, here's how we're going to do this for your organization. And I think commanders, that's what they want. That's what they get. They, you know, they expect us to be the experts on applying religious support to their organization. It should not, I'm just making a point, it shouldn't be about balancing priorities. And I think that's what you're getting at, Mark, is the sense of integrating these things. And again, I keep saying integration is my new favorite word, but it's so true. You know, it's really about wholeness. It's really about one. It's really about us being the people we claim to be as chaplains, and applying that to who we're here to serve. That's all we're trying to do. And I think we need to think of it that way in terms of, and in contrast to balancing, you know, different priorities from different places. All right. Thank you. Anybody think that there's a better way of trying to, I don't know, communicate with the organization? Or do people feel like that's an issue or not?
This is Bobby Whitlock at Force Cobb.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could give us a perspective from your point of view, how your initiatives are going, how the Chaplain Corps initiatives are going, and part of that would lead into the communication piece and flattening the system so that everybody involved in the pilots gets synced at the same time. Over.
Well, I think the key to it, first of all, so we got a few initiatives or pilots going on, but I think since you are ForceCom, you're probably referring mostly to the structural changes in the division, correct? Yeah. All right. So, you know, just so people understand that whole issue, it's clear that the most important position, I think, when you consider new chaplains, when you consider people's experience in the Army and development, I think the division chaplain position is critical. And it's something that probably should have changed 20 years ago, but I don't know why, but it is the way it is, and we need to, in a sense, update something. And that is that division chaplain. Because here's a position where 20, 30, 40 years ago, the scope of that position was much smaller. It was a much different world. The divisions function much differently. Now the divisions are a sense, they're global entities. They're spread out everywhere. They're massive compared to the way they used to be. They're very complex. And this is where I believe chaplains are formed. Everybody comes into the Army and they start out somewhere in a division as a battalion chaplain, for the most part. So in other words, that is a critical position. And one of the biggest disconnects we've had is also on in the relation of that with the senior commander. So in a garrison where you have a senior commander who's the division chaplain or division commander, they only see their division chaplain. You know, they don't really have that relationship with the garrison. And again, this leads to the model that needs to be tweaked. Synchronizing who we are and what we're trying to do with the mission of the Army is really what this is about. That's all we're trying to do here, is synchronize our structure with what the Army needs and what the Army's set up to do. Now, to change any structure, you're talking about I don't even know, anybody here? I mean, you're talking about 5 to 10 years to kind of get that structure reset. So that's why we're going along the lines of a pilot program here, so that we can make this change now, but it has to be done piecemeal. It kind of has to be done incrementally. We can't do it across the board everywhere all at once. So with that, people, you know, there needs to be a certain amount of patience with folks as far as how this is coming about. But that doesn't mean people shouldn't be thinking about this and trying to realign the structures that you're responsible for to best serve the needs of the Army. Everybody should be thinking about that, okay? I was in Europe a couple weeks ago. You know, they don't have any divisions there, right? Really? But they're thinking about how do we align, how does our structures align, you know, with the need? And then they're seeing, hey, we can make this different, we can make this structure different and align ourselves, have a better, you know, senior mission commander structure, senior mission structure, if we do this or whatever. We need that. People need to be thinking about those things. We can't do it all at once. That's why we're choosing to do this as a pilot program. So people need to understand it that way, okay? And the other thing is, I need to do a better job of making sure everybody understands what we're trying to do with this, but I need the senior folks to be communicating out there about what's happening, you know, both with subordinate chaplains and with command folks. My experience with this is the most senior commanders, those commanders who have been through all the levels of command, when they hear this pilot or this realignment laid out for them, the typical response is, hey, that's awesome. That is about time. It's long overdue. You know, I'm glad to hear it. But the reality is, to make that a actual MTO change, that takes years. It's going to take a while. And we're going to have to work you know, some smart folks are going to have to work at helping us figure that out, you know, because we got MCOM pieces involved here and ForceCom pieces, and those entities do not necessarily, you know, mix and match when you talk about force structure. So I don't know if that answers your, or if that addresses what your question was or not.
It does, sir. I appreciate it. With what you've seen so far, what the chief's office has seen, I have some feedback from 3ID. I'm wondering about 25th and Center of Excellence, how things are going from your perspective.
Yeah, I think my perspective is things are going well because people understand. The decision makers understand what we're trying to do, and I think there's a lot of tweaking that needs to happen, a lot of nuance. But in general, you know, the Army wants us to be as involved as possible. The Army wants us to be postured and structured the best way so that we can take care of soldiers and families. And with that, I think there's a great, whether you're talking about people at the DA staff level who are helping us work through the wickets of some of the structural issues, or, you know, commanders out there in the field. For the most part, everybody is very genuine in trying to help us work through this. It's going to be a lot of work. I mean, it's not as simple as waving a wand and saying, all right, all these positions are now colonels, and all these positions are now lieutenant colonels. The other part of it too is, part of the design of this is to address more of the talent management and the development of people. My experience has always been, get a phone call, hey, congratulations, you're going to be the division chaplain. Here's your report date. Report date was probably usually the biggest conversation with any of these assignments. You know, there was never a developmental understanding or synthesis of this. It was simply, go there, you're going to do great, period. Okay? There was no real intentional, we're developing this guy or this chaplain to go here, there, or whatever. That's what I want us to be better at as well, is developmental issues. And this is something. I don't want us to just throw people into the most complex, challenging position that we have in the Army and say, good luck. You know, I want us to develop people to take that. And that way, we're, as a chaplain corps, we're putting our best foot forward. We're really doing everything we can to take care of soldiers and families. So, that's what we're trying to do. I'm surprised there's not more concern out there about some of these initiatives. What about the personnel, as far as how we're doing the personnel piece, assignments and things like that? The way we're restructuring the personnel managers, if you will. Any thoughts on that?
Hey, sir, this is Chaplain Palmer from TRADOC. You know, if I may say that, you know, from some of the interactions I've had with some of the junior chaplains, you know, I think the structure is great, but I think the one thing that they wrestle with, you know, and I just tell you, you know, they call and, you know, they get the notification, and it's basically, hey, this is where you're going, there's no discussion, and that's it. I think, again, from, you know, I don't know if they're looking for more compassion, but I get a lot of feedback in regards to that, you know, it's just like, okay, this is the way it is. If not, then, you know, find another kind of ministry. So that's one of the I'd say, downsides of the new assignment process. How do you share this with Scott Jones as well? So I'd just be curious to see what other folks have encountered as they talk to their chaplains and their commands.
All right, anybody else have any thoughts on that, along those lines? Anybody want to read?
Yeah, so this is Chaplain Soldrum. So what Chaplain Palmer just said is in the change, it appears that some people feel as though they're being told where they're going, and they're not getting the opportunity to discuss or arbitrate or negotiate, I guess, for lack of a better word, that assignment. And it may be a perception thing, or it may, in fact, be a reality and a message that DATCHPER needs to hear to make the adjustment. But that was the question, and I'll let the chief take it.
Well, I'd be interested in if others have seen the same thing or heard the same thing. Is there a concern out there about the personnel system is no longer as concerned or compassionate or whatever?
Sir, this is Matt Woodbury, INSCOM Fort Belvoir. I would validate Chaplain Palmer's comment. As folks are receiving, I think the initiative at face value is the correct one. That is to say, to get us in line with HRC. However, I think that in an effort to be aptly compliant with regulatory processes, that we are in many ways forgetting that the one thing that binds us all together is our sense of collegiality among each other. So when there is a distortion of that, when there is a breaking of that, it causes great concern among, does for me in particular, but I think for our subordinate chaplains as well. They're kind of like, wait a minute, I understand I'm in the Army, but you know, I would like to be heard more. And sir, just another element of this, just coming at it from a customer service standpoint, as a DRU, one of the concerns that I have is that much of this is happening with my subordinate chaplains, and I get a courtesy copy later where I could possibly help soften this or to be a broker for, you know, on your behalf, on behalf of the PER folks, to say, here's some of the reasoning of that, so that we could be a better interpreter of what the intent is. But I end up working with commanders and my subordinate chaplains after the fact, and it puts me in a delicate position, and I'll stop there and see if any of my peers agree. Over.
Sir, this is Chaplain Dugal. We have a different perspective out here in USERPAC, so I'm going to let Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Promotable Hart talk to this.
Sir, just from the Pacific, you know, we are in the infancies of the negotiation phase, so can't speak to how the others are perceiving it, but what we're seeing is the notifications of those that are on the OIM in place to move are just now being notified. So the negotiation and the feedback from the command should be now taking place through October. And my understanding of the process, sir, is once that has taken through October, in November, you'll see the list and then, be briefed and asked for your approval of who goes to where at that point in time. So I'm sensing that people are trying to ramp this up too fast, and your four horsemen there at the chief's office are working very hard to try to make sure they get the right person into the right place at the right time. Over.
Okay. Yeah. I guess all I'll say at this point is we care. We want to care. We want to be concerned with individual chaplains' needs and their families' needs as far as assignments go. But in order to do talent management, we need to also be more concerned about exactly what you just said, Chaplain Hart, getting the right chaplain to the right place at the right time. And I think that requires a lot of inputs from different sources. I mean, supervisors, senior chaplains, chaplains themselves. Again, we need to have a kind of integrated system that includes all of that, right? That's really what we need. But I think it's also clear that, you know, we need to move in another, we have to move in a new direction in the sense of how we're doing this. For instance, is Scott Jones out there, Chapman Jones?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah, you know, just based on the old way we did business is, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, we had all these vacancies out there. And by the way, you know, vacancies, that is the one thing that commanders will absolutely call about. You know, they will tolerate a lot of issues, I guess, with their UMTs at times. But vacancies are the thing that are going to make them pick up the phone and start, you know, squawking. But anyway, you know, we brought in these horses, Chapman Jones brought in these horses and blah, blah, they studied everything. Basically, the system we were using previously and the way we did assignments, we basically had, how many, Chaplain Jones, how many really unnecessary vacancies did we, or would we continually endure? I forget what it was.
Sir, we had about 100.
All right. And according to the ORSAs, these are the people that studied our system. Based on our numbers, we should have how many vacancies?
Sir, we have high retention rates. According to our ORSAs, we should have almost all of our spaces filled, but we have placed people in units that did not have a 56 alpha or 56 delta authorization. We had about 30 of those. We had about 70 chaplains that were overstrength, doubled up, some weak and justified. But even if you take, let's say we had a total of 80, for example, out of that 100 that we just had not placed in the right situation, that, of course, that means 80 authorizations or 80 units were without a chaplain.
Yeah. So the bottom line is, I'm just telling you, it's unacceptable for us to operate in a system where we continuously have 100 vacancies, all right? That is unacceptable. We need a new way. We need to do this better. We need to be more responsible, be good stewards, all of those things. That's what we're after. That's what we're trying to do. There may be a few nuances that we need to make here and there, but as senior folks, I need you to understand where we're trying to go and why. All right, it's critical that we use the chaplains. That doesn't sound right. That we apply these sacred resources in the most responsible way. That's what we're trying to do, and we may need to tweak things here and there to make sure we're getting it. But that's what we're after. And senior folks, I need you to be a part of this. Help us do it better. There's a reason we're moving out of the, what I would say, the completely preference-centric system where, you know, we developed a generation, I think, of chaplains where that's what the expectation is. Right? I mean, we used to give them a 5-page mm-hmm. preference sheet and then try to do assignments based on that. I don't know how you can do talent management based on that. That's why we got to change. All right? It's not that we don't care about preferences. What we're trying to do is put the best, fit the talent to the place at the right time. That's what we want to do.
Sir, Dave Jamota here, MCOM. Overarching comment on our personnel is the new system. I think it's on target that we imitate the rest of the Army. No issues from that perspective at all. We're always going to have bumps in the road with the new system. It's going to take some time to iron it out. I would just say that we just need to find ways to tweak our communication about how we process the assignments, and maybe even include in a more proactive way our chaplain personnel managers that we already have in our major commands, so that they're more integrated. But overall, I really think we are headed the right direction, and as we see these bumps in the road, we'll make course corrections. Over.
Yeah, thanks. I want to reiterate, you know, this is your chaplain corps. This is something that is definitely, or has been, an issue, and we're trying to get right. But we also, the chaplain personnel assignment system needs your feedback. It needs your input. It needs your collaborative leadership to help us do this the best we can.
Chad Callerson of the War College.
Are you? Yeah. When are you going to get out of there? When are you graduating?
Hey, sir. I like it. Sir, on this whole issue, one of the three areas the chief of staff of the Army has us having students look at this year for their capstone is talent management. One of the issues that I fielded a lot of phone calls from people across the Corps asking me is not just about assignments, but with these changes, are we briefing out what our talent management model looks like? What are our paths to success? What are our fields? Are we going to have people on single tracks, multiple tracks?
Sir, the answer is they're meeting
today.
Impact
on schooling, assignments. That's the question that I'm hearing from folks in the field, because I used to do a per brief. But it's also one of the challenges the chief has asked us to have a third of our student body look at for this year, to communicate that out to the field. And that's the confusion I'm hearing, is that people don't know. It's not about what is success as a chaplain, but what are the options, what are the paths, and what does it mean if I or senior officers are making decisions and senior chaplains about me or where I go. Sir, over.
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what we're trying to do. In fact, there's a group, there's a body meeting today or...
Today and tomorrow.
Yeah. That's, you know, starting to look, or that's looking at that stuff. But you hit the nail on the head in the sense of that's exactly, precisely what we're concerned with and what we intend to do. We need to get serious about talent management. And to be honest with you, from my perspective on a DA... From a DA level perspective, as far as talent management goes, I honestly think that we are way ahead of the power curve, all right? And part of that is we are a small branch. We have more flexibility, I think, but I can just tell you, based on peers that I have talked to, I think we are ahead of the game as far as doing exactly what you just laid out.
Sir, this is Scott Jones. I just wanted to say to everyone where we are on the Dash 1 pilot program. We're really just starting. Last month, the month of August, we really looked at who are the officers identified to move next summer. And then earlier this month, we sent out two sets of emails, including to the colonels. We sent one email out, which we are looking at those that we've identified to move based on DEROs, time on station, etc. And as we did that, we wanted to get their feedback to let us know things like, are your unit, is it deploying, is this a bad time for you to move, do you have particular family issues, high school stabilization, compassionate reassignment. And we have directed them in the email that they should notify their rating officials to include their supervisory chaplain that they have been identified to move. We also sent out another mass email to let everyone know that if you think you should be moving next summer and you didn't receive an email from your assignment officer, to contact your assignment officer so that we can discuss the eligibility to move.
So those emails have gone out right now. We're working on those who have been identified to move for next summer. We're trying to do this so that there's more predictability. Many times under the old system, there wasn't a lot of predictability. My own experience before a PERF conference, when I was out in the field, I was often told, there's a PERF conference next month. You better get ready, update your preference form, because you never know when you're going to move. We're trying to make it more predictable when people are going to move. We're always going to have emergent conditions in which we have to move somebody at the last minute because maybe of a family issue, et cetera, or unforecast deployment. So that's where we are right now. The month of October, what we're working on is the actual spaces that have become vacant. We're doing an analysis. We have a group here helping us find out what are the requirements for those particular spaces. And so for the month of October, we'll be working on that. And then really, late October, November is really when the discussion between the officer identified to move and his or her assignment officer really takes place. And it's at those times that those who've been identified to move will express any particular family concerns or other concerns that they may have. And so we're trying to get to the point where you have a personal touch, where you have an assignment officer. The colonels have an assignment officer. That's me. So we looked at it as we wanted to have the lieutenant colonels have the opportunity to have an assignment officer. The majors have an opportunity to have an assignment officer. The senior and junior captains have an assignment officer. Someone that can give them career advice and also talk to them about their file and give them an honest assessment. So November will be a month in which we do a lot of conversations with those who have been identified to move. And then our goal is hopefully by January we'll have the slate coordinated through the deputy and then with the chief's approval. We'd like to start doing RFOs in December or January so that people can have more predictability as well in their movements, and they can start planning on where they'll be moving, finding housing, schooling for children and that. So we're trying to follow the way the rest of the Army does assignments, but we also want to have a personal touch. One of the things for me when I was out in the field, I always thought it was strange that I couldn't call the chief of chaplain office and talk to an assignment officer when my peers from the Army competitive category would do that often. So that's where we are at this point. Summer is our biggest time of movement. We've had one training session for the new assignment officers. We had the AG branch chief come here for 3 days. Now, toward the end of October, we're looking at sending the assignment officers to HRC for new assignment officer training so that we can learn what the rest of the Army is doing. So that's where we are in this process. I plan to, with some of the staff for FY17, actually go out to your locations and brief you and talk to you personally about where we are in the assignment process and where the Dash 1 pilot program is going. I think one of our major weaknesses is communication. It is a struggle, and we want to get out to the field and be able to communicate with you directly and answer any of your questions. Over.
Sir, this is Jonathan Shaw, and I have a question on the new assignment system. I think that it's definitely going to improve talent management. It's going to strengthen leader development. It's going to help build trust across the Corps. That's all great. But will it impact how you end up assigning senior chaplains to commanding generals? Would you characterize that process as nominate, dialogue, or identify the chaplain for assignment? Will that change how you interact with commanding generals, sir? Over.
You know, I think it will, but it's gonna be dependent also on some of the organizations, right? So, but I do want to be able to call a senior commander and say, here is who I am sending them, all right? I think that's how it should go, all right? Because if I'm doing my job, then I know what the requirements are of that organization. And I should know the chaplains as far as the you know, who's available or whatever. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to take talent management seriously, I should be able to call the commander and say, here is who we're sending you. As you may know, as a lot of people know, some commanders like to have a little list to select from. But I really think that runs counter to our talent management priority. You know, if we really are, we should know better than the commander who's going to fit his organization and fit him. Now, that also means that I am going to take into account what the commander needs, right? I mean, that might be a separate conversation with me or with someone else in the command, so that we make sure we understand what those requirements are. But I think it's important that if we say talent management is something that we're making part of our organization, then I, as the chief of chaplains, should call that senior commander and say, here's who we're sending you, and here's why. And it should go that way. The other thing is, I think it's important for me as the chief of chaplains to talk to these commanders, all right? I try to talk to every single commander for all the 06 assignments so that I provide to them not just who we're sending and why, but also provide to the commander an understanding of our expectations of what we expect of that chaplain, command chaplain in your organization. All right, I think that's important. I think a lot of commanders have never had that conversation with someone about what we expect the command chaplain to be doing in his organization and for him. So I don't know if that answers your question, but those are my thoughts on the senior chaplain assignments. Chaplain Soldier, you want to add anything?
Thanks, sir. I think that kind of transparency and mutual understanding will end up building trust. I follow it all the way. Thanks, sir.
And the only thing I'd add is that the chief is also, and this is a demand on the chief's time, so going back to the, you know, investing in people, the, I guess what you'd call caring, compassion, I mean, this is a lot. This is, so my, in my chief seat, in observing the chief's time and the management of his time and the focus of his energy, he's giving an inordinate amount of time to the field to discuss your assignment and to talk to you, the chaplain, about your assignment. That's unprecedented. It's to be applauded, frankly, but it's unprecedented. And I think what it does is, what we need to all collectively understand is that builds trust in the minds of the people in the field, which is critical to an end. So not only do you, the chaplain, get the time from the chief to understand what his philosophy or his intent is for you as you go, but also the people in the field. So now we're synchronizing and integrating the arrival of the chaplain with a clear understanding of what the expectation is. That's a huge deal. But it's a very time-intensive, demanding process that we have to work through to get there. Over.
Your conference is scheduled to end in 2 minutes.
Yeah, so, you know, to that end, that's about the unity of effort piece. I don't know how your commanders can give you guidance if they don't understand what we're thinking. And same thing with you, senior chaplain. If you don't understand what the expectations are of me, of you, from me, then how can I expect you to be operating with the sense of unity of effort? So that's where I'm at. That's what drives me in doing those things. They're just unavoidable. I can't expect it without doing that. And hopefully you will do the same thing, you know, wherever you are.
Sir, this is Chaplain Sieg from Kalau Barracks. And as you talk about all these things, that integration and unity of effort and the need to care for people and focus on the priorities, one of the things that does stand out is that not only do we need to be ready and help force be ready,
But we need to be ready ourselves. And so it's taking care of ourselves so we can take care of others. It becomes an important aspect of senior leader care.
Your conference is now over. Goodbye.
Oh.
All right. That's a,
over.
Thank you for making that point. That's a, yeah, you're right on the money. I can't, what more can I say? We need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our senior commanders. Absolutely. You know, the other thing is we if there are needs out there along those lines, make sure you're doing whatever you need to do it. All right? There's no book on this. I just can only encourage everybody to be serious. Take it serious. It's important. We can't take care of others if we're not well ourselves. And that's a great way also to be thinking about your commander. Is he, you know, who's taking care of him? It's a challenge. I spent time with a senior commander recently and for an hour, and it was hard to get him, and there was no issue, there was no agenda, there was nothing, but I was just trying to get him to talk about himself and tell me how he was really doing, and it was, you know, there was a wall, and there was a lot of effort being exerted to keep the wall up too. So I understand it's challenging, but we need to be thinking about it and doing it. All right. Any other comments out there? This is an open agenda. It's whatever people want to bring up. I would certainly want to hear.
Sir, Chaplain Mike Klein from Piacenza, Italy. First and foremost, I want to personally thank you for granting my commander, Major General Harrington, and giving him permission to allow me to sit in on the BTC with you that you had with him when you were vetting my replacement. First and foremost, it was intrinsically valuable because he was able to look at me as you were speaking, and I was able to validate your vision, your perspectives for the future, giving him thumbs up, which added additional confirmation and endorsement to your selection to backfill a key and critical position in his command. Over.
All right, thanks. That's good feedback. I think anything we can do to help the commanders understand more clearly, you know, what we're trying to do, that's what we need to do. Because, you know, think about it. We don't really communicate with them in that sense, you know, as far as speaking to them about what we expect chaplains to be about. Plus, you know what, Mike, I spoke to him later after you left the room. We had another conversation.
Sure, I was not aware of that, over.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I was delighted. It was good to see that he had that kind of confidence to keep you right there beside him. That's certainly a good sign. All right. Let me check. Who's John? Does everybody know? Who's over there?
Eric.
Oh, Eric. Yeah. So, you know, let's introduce Eric, please.
Get Eric.
Please.
Get out in the camera.
Yeah, you'll have
come
to
right
move.
Around.
There you go.
Oh,
Morris.
A little further.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Hello? I think right. I know most of you.
Yeah. Can you just give him his...
Yes.
You know, what he's doing for us.
Okay. Just a concise description of what the chief has stood up here at the Pentagon, and it's a strategic initiatives group, which I'm in charge of, and I have my compatriot here is Eric Jorgensen, who comes with a lot of experience and really offers the Chaplain Corps a unique capability. He's a Air Force F-15 pilot and has spent time active and reserve in that and is now retired. has worked some major strategic initiatives in the Pentagon and in the Washington, D.C. area. But the unique piece about where he is that he has a Master's of Divinity from Princeton and was working on a doctorate, had a young family, and then needed a job. And so he went down to become an Air Force chaplain, and they had no chaplaincy openings, but they were looking for pilots. So Eric has spent the last time there, but has a real interest in understanding our mission as chaplains, and very, very capable, and brings something very unique to the organization, the Chief of Chaplains here. So he's joining us. He's kind of sorting through some ways to help the Chief out, and just a real addition here to the Chaplain Corps.
Excited to be on the team and working on pronouncing "hua" or whatever it is that you guys say.
All right. So this organization is really important to me in the sense of having folks who are dedicated to thinking through some of the engagements, that are leveraging our organization more effectively. Because without them, there is no way to really do that. You're just kind of running from one thing to the other. And there's no real way to assess, is this a good utilization? Is this meeting the needs of the organization? I want to leverage this position, this office, the whole Chaplain Corps, as effectively as possible. And that's what they're about in the sense of helping me think through and plan and do engagements that are really serving the Chaplain Corps. And that I'm not running around just doing what I think only I think should be done. So that's what they're about. So I appreciate them. It's a great asset for the Chaplain Corps. All right. Do you have anything to Chaplain McGraw to add at this point? Like comments?
Maybe just one thing is we're kind of defining our role. As you're sending things through to the chief and the deputy, connect with me first, and I can often kind of make sure that I get it on their calendar, kind of process things through there. Not that you can't call them, but we're kind of up here trying to lay out their calendar, help them facilitate things as quickly as possible, and be as effective for you as well.
Okay. Any questions on the SIG? Strategic Initiatives Group. All right. Chaplain Fisher, do you have anything you want to add at this point?
I would just encourage you as we lean toward a readiness center. Some of you have maybe some burning questions about what culture, religion, conflict, our core looks like, not just 2025 and beyond, but what it looks like 2030, 2040, 2050 and beyond. And so as we move forward with the Readiness Center, that's what really we're looking at. How do we shape our core to meet the requirements for the future? So if you have some burning questions about those requirements, how to shape the future, I ask that you would currently get those questions to Mark Nordstrom, as he's the one who's leading the Readiness Center team. That will eventually change to someone else in the near future, after Mark retires. But in any case, we want to make sure that we're capturing and garnering your questions so that we can prioritize those and make sure we're asking the right questions for our core. Our chief has said, he's wanting to lead this core and leverage it for us. So it's about your questions. It's about you getting them on the table. So make sure that your questions about our future are on the table.
Yeah, and also I'll add to that, too, the gaps. Any gaps that you may see, as far as our mission, that's the other thing we want to try to capture and address. All right. Chaplain Soldier?
The only thing I would add to the conversation is to be patient with us as we have multiple initiatives. We're integrating the SIG into our activities and establishing parameters and means to communicate. So, and we're going to do that, but I just ask you to be a little patient with us as we're getting all these things brought together that are really new in and of themselves, and so I would just thankful for your patience with us. And then I'd also add, just the other thing is to understand why these things are so important is, and the Chiefs made it clear, I need to be aimed deliberately and optimized in the use of my time for the sake of the Corps and the Army. And so all I would ask is, and I say this as lovingly as I know how to, that think about the invitations that you extend to the Chief when you do them. Obviously, they're going to be filtered, but optimize that visit. And it has become a narrative that the Chief doesn't do prayer breakfasts. Here's what I'd offer. That's not necessarily true. But what the Chief does is a lot more than prayer breakfasts. And the Chief brings a lot more to the table. And I think, unfortunately, we marginalize the Chief. There's a lot of gifted speakers out there and orators that can speak at a prayer breakfast that don't necessarily have stars on their uniform. And then the other thing I would say is, I'll speak to it. There's a delicate dance in roles and responsibilities. There is one chief of chaplains. Okay, we have a few general officers, but we have one chief of chaplains. So when you extend an invitation to the chief, do never presume to extend that invitation to a deputy. You extend the invitation to the chief. And then ultimately, the chief will decide whether it's something he wants to do and take on for action, or if he's going to defer that to somebody else. But it gets a little awkward when invitations are extended to multiple entities. We should respect the office of the chief of chaplains and the chief of chaplains, and as we extend those invitations, they clearly ought to be to him. And then he is allowed the parameters to make a decision of what he chooses to engage or to send somebody else as his emissary. So, anyway, the bottom line is I look forward to, you know, working with you in the future, look forward to enhancing and bettering our communication systems to enable us to be able to take care of soldiers and families in the way that they deserve, and to help the Chief of Chaplains to be successful in all of his engagements as he leads the Corps. Thanks a lot for tuning in today.
All right. Again, I want to reiterate, I know this has taken effort to be here to set up on your end to have this conference, but thank you and I appreciate it. And I also want to reiterate that, you know, any senior chaplain, I have no issues with this, with someone calling me directly. I mean, I want everybody to know, if you need to, you should feel free to call me directly, all right? At the same time, we are trying to leverage, we are trying to be good stewards, we are trying to, you know, do things in the most effective way possible. So, you know, I just expect you to use your own discretion in the sense of who you're contacting about what issue, right? I mean, that's it. But I don't want anybody to feel like they can never call me directly. That's obviously... obviously something that I want everybody to feel free. I see myself as the chief of chaplains, as the leader of the senior chaplains. And I can't say that if you can't contact me directly when you need to. All right, that's it. Again, I appreciate everybody. And I guess, do we have a date for the next one, or we'll send you info on the next one? Even if you didn't contribute anything or have anything to add today, that's fine, but hopefully these will be valuable for people, even if you're in listening. All right, thank you. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.